Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead talk through on Golden Spiral Media.
That was awesome.
Fear the Walking Dead talk through episode 44. People Like Us review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors. Welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And yes, that was me with Jenna Elfman. It's been a long time coming, but I finally attended my first Walker Stalker Con last weekend in Orlando. So I guess I'll talk a little bit about that in our news section. But I will say this. She's very tall. And in fact, I put like a little audiogram of that intro on the Facebook group, and you'll see there's a selfie with me and her, and she's really tall. In fact, she looks like she's towering over me. I look like a troll compared to her, you know. but you know, like, I'm 5'7", apparently she's 5'9", but she was wearing about 4-inch heels.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah, so it makes her look that much taller, but
still cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. So, but that was pretty cool. This is the only one I was able to get. But I am gonna be press at MegaCon Tampa Bay in about a month's time, and hopefully maybe I'll get something even better for that, but no promises yet. But anyway, tonight we are going to discuss season 4, episode 9, People Like Us, and that is written by Anna Fischko, who's a supervising producer, and directed by Magnus Martins. And Mark, I just want to say before we start, I know you've had a death in the family going on right now, so I honestly didn't expect you to be able to join us tonight, but I want to thank you for, you know, for coming out.
No problem.
But I also want to send out our deepest condolences to everyone knows this name who's been listening to her podcast, Dieta. Yeah. She is a longtime listener of us. I think she started listening to us, like Ruthie and me, in the first, you know, half dozen episodes. So she goes back to the beginning, and her mom passed away very suddenly last week. And, you know, I happened to see a message from her on her timeline in Facebook, and you know, it was very sudden. So anyway, Dieta, you're probably not going to hear this for a little bit. You know, I know this is the last thing you probably are doing right now. Yeah. But when you do hear this, just you know, we're thinking about you, and our condolences to you and the rest of your family. You know, I lost my mom and dad several years ago, and I know what that's like. I didn't lose them suddenly, And I know that makes it even more difficult. So, anyway, my heart goes out to you, and I know the rest of us agree.
Yeah, yes. We're thinking of you, Dieta, and we send you our thoughts and prayers. And
come back to us when you can, and please submit feedback, and we're always here for you.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's get into this episode. So this is the mid-season premiere of the new era of Fear the Walking Dead. So start with you, Mark. What did you think of People Like Us?
I give it a rating of 7 out of 10. Morgan leaving for Alexandria with Alicia and Althea. That never happened.
Yep, did not. I gave it a 6 out of 10 artichokes in a jar. And I kind of like doing a little bit different because usually I have been giving my ratings pretty high, but I'm kind of starting to I want to start with, something a little bit more real, I'm, not just going to give it a huge rating just because, I like the universe. So I'm starting with 6 just because of the storm.
Yeah.
There we go.
Well, I'm right there with you. I was trying to debate what to give it. And for the bulk of the episode, I liked it. I didn't think it was spectacular, but I thought it was decent. But as far as the storm, I give this episode 7 laws of physics defied.
Totally.
And I will just say that I hope that storm won't be that lame the rest of the season. But I also gave it an alternative 7 grapes not meant for wrath.
Best line in the whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we've got listener ratings. So it's in the ratings doc or the doc. It says me, but Mark, why don't you give Steve's rating?
My co-host Steve Brown from Panels to Pixel says 7 out of 10 promised storms that are just starting. Come on already.
And Glennis Gulch, she gives it a 7.5 out of 10 stormy duos.
Cheryl Fox, hi Cheryl. She helped out with the docs this episode, and it was all screwed up. I made the show doc, and it didn't get copied in the right Google Doc folder. I didn't realize it until Kyle and I started working on it. So, anyway, we collected all of it anyway, but between the three of us, Cheryl gave it 8 out of 10 chuckle-headed ideas.
And I so wanted to use that, and I was like, I saw Cheryl beat me to it. So for the win, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Or fear the win.
All right. Well, let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
All right. We've got multiple Awesome Sauce-I from Glynis. So, Mark, why don't you give those?
Glynis Gold says, Morgan's mention of the trip back to TWD, although the storm will no doubt delay that, to tantalize and tease us to the fact if Morgan will manage to see Rick before Rick dies/leaves. New duo matchups to weather out the storm, which should make for some interesting and different situations. Call back to TWD, maybe, with the radio. Just Morgan's expressions when he was contacting Althea made me wonder if he was thinking of that other time, long, long ago, in a galaxy far, far away. And of course, the peanut butter bars in attendance in his gear, which I loved.
Yeah. Yeah. That I definitely saw, the peanut butter bars.
All right. And Steve Brown says, June catching more fish than John. Strand and Luciana's house, if you can suspend your disbelief that it would still be standing and unoccupied, that is.
All right. And Kat's next. She says, Strand being Strand again. Grapes of wrath and all.
And Cheryl Fox, she said, I thought Strand was outstanding in this episode, and the Walker in the Storm was cool. Can't wait for more next week.
All right. Let's move on to our awesome sauce. And it looks like we've got an uneven number. So since I have two of them, I will start with mine. Then we'll move to you, Mark.
Okay.
And then Kyle, and then me. So I'm going to start with the second one I've got there in the notes, which is the scene with Strand falling over with and then later killing that walker was pretty funny. Although I have to say that Luciana was unusually oblivious and annoying.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. That was part of mine as well. But, you know, she was blasting that music.
Yeah, I know, but and I just I don't understand why she was facing the wrong direction. I don't know. It was the first thing I thought was like, hey, like, why are you facing not towards the exit? But anyways, that's
but that, I mean, you would think that she'd be able to, if not hear, then at least sense, mm-hmm. like feel the walking around and, you know, banging stuff. I mean, the vibration of it.
Yeah.
But no, she was just completely oblivious. Mm-hmm. And being dumb.
My awesome sauce was Strand the man. He knows how to grieve in opulence. I love when he was like, a 61 Latour, much better than a 66. The wine cellar is extensive. Ha ha.
Ha ha. Yeah.
Just love Strand.
All right. I guess my last one would be that I think the show definitely has set a different tone at this point than The Walking Dead has, particularly like in the last season. There was a definite, like a different flavor to it, especially with that scene with Strand and Luciana. And a different tone than Fear used to have. So I will, you know, cautiously put my thumbs up for that. And, you know, hope for good tidings going forward. All right. If that's it for everybody, it is time for our weak sauced variety.
You're worthless and weak.
Of course you are. All right. Mark, why don't you go ahead?
Cheryl Fox says, Morgan deciding that he needs to go back to Alexandria.
No. No!
That works too.
Yeah. All right. Sorry, I've had Picard on the brain the last few days for obvious reasons.
Yeah, of course.
All right. And Glynis Goltz, she says, this episode shambled along a bit, but expect it was setting up the duo for the Rock You Like a Hurricane next episode.
I don't have that set up, but I would love to play a little bit of Scorpions right here, but I'm gonna just move on and say Steve Brown says, at the end of the last episode, everyone was together and now they are all separate. Did I miss something? Well, no, you missed a month or so.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing that can be said. They kind of went their semi-separate ways a month out, you know, but I think that's as far as that went. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I was expecting a time jump of some sort
after. Yeah. All right. Well, Kyle, I know you just went, but so we don't have to completely destroy our document here, why don't you do the last week sauce?
All right. Catcraft says, Luciana being bland Luciana. Whenever I see an interview with Danai, I have higher hopes that they'll do something better with her character, and I think she wants to. She's a better actress than the weak character and material that they give her.
All right. That's it for our listener week sauce. All right, Mark, why don't we go with your weak sauce next?
Yeah, that would be the overall downpour of the rain and the way it started off. You know, honestly, almost out of Z Nation. It was kind of forced with the CG and how it looked and how they were kind of picked off. It was interesting, yes, but it wasn't anything great. It was a little too campy for the show. Hopefully they move on from this in the future episodes.
Kyle, since I was just reading over our weak sauce and I sense a theme here. So why don't you go right into yours?
The CG zombies at the beginning looked completely fake. Like you could see this different color difference and it just like, it looked like a video game. And also how the wind did not even move like the trees or Al's SWAT van that was sitting there. Like I watched it several times over and over again because I just noticed it. And you have all this wind, this like hurricane wind, and those trees are just completely stand still. And
yep.
Al's van did not move an inch. And then you had all these walkers being jerked around like your rating. It's like there's physics involved that like, the wind's going to push a body a certain way and it's not going to yank it straight up in the air. It's going to just knock it down to the ground. Like, and that there was that one zombie being pushed on the ground. But then if that one's fall down and being pushed that far, then why are the other ones still?
Exactly.
Are they just also full of holes and it's just going through them? But that one had a jacket on.
It's like they didn't have enough CG money to do the whole thing. That was the thing. So I'm going to just go right into it and just say almost every single thing about the hurricane. I noticed the fact that the trees were not moving in the background, despite all the rain, despite like even when the walkers were being, pulled up like they were, I noticed that the leaves were just gently, moving. I'm sorry, but it's even worse than that. It's like the people that were working on those stunts and the effects, like, have they never been in a storm?
Yeah.
They all got fired from the movie Twister back in the 90s.
No. The one thing that it reminded me of was Resident Evil. Like, there's a still CG background and then, still background and then the CG stuff. And it's so, like, does not fit. And you can see right through it. And it just looked horrible.
The thing that got me, and I noticed this right away, and in fact, I noticed it in the trailer, is that wind does not pull you into the air. That does not happen. Okay. Wind pushes you.
Right.
Okay. So, and the stupid thing is, you had eight or six, walkers that were in this, group. Mm-hmm. And they're all eating, I don't know what it was, deer or something.
I think it was a horse or something.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, two of them just, not only do they get sucked away, but they get sucked away and 15 feet in the air.
Right.
And it's like, give me a break.
And that horse didn't, or whatever it was, didn't get pulled either.
Yeah. No. And the other ones that were eating or just sitting there like they didn't even move.
Like, I'm sorry, but, I had to look at this because I started thinking, okay, did they were they completely out to lunch when they came up with this? But
yeah.
I had to look it up. And yes, hurricanes do create tornadoes, but
we should have seen a tornado.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle, you're from Oklahoma. Yeah. You know what a tornado is like. That was no tornado.
No.
And it's just, it was ridiculous.
My one thing, and that's part of why my rating, that's why I wanted to be starting off a little bit, I don't know, how I feel and just not be like sugarcoating things just because I'm like, oh, I love the universe, is the fact that Nicotero was talking about this at the con, was saying how awesome it was to do all this. And I swear to God that if he saw that, or he probably did see that, but that's like, you're proud of that? Like, that looks like that looks horrible. So I don't know how you could be proud of that, because it looks completely fake. And if you're all about being like real and like being scary and being like, you know, thinking of how to make a rock walker look real and scary, you know, like we've seen on the show and, you know, the parent show, that I don't know how anybody could be proud of this at all. So I just took a tick off my rating because I just did not like that at all.
Yeah, like, I mean, you are from an area of the U.S. that gets tornadoes. Mm-hmm. Mark, you are from the East Coast, and I know you've had your share of hurricanes and tropical storms.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had a mixture of both, you know, from, you know, when I've lived in Florida, which was in the past, and now, but also even in the Midwest, not getting hurricane strength wind, but getting you know, the tropical storm kind of winds after, you know, the hurricane has hit the land. Like, there was a few years ago, we got hit and we had no power for 4 days. And, you know, that was Sandy, which I know hit like New York, New Jersey a lot harder than it did Ohio, but anyway, the point being that I'm sorry, there was nothing realistic about that. It just like even the walker that got like pulled on the ground, which as an effect was probably the most realistic part of it. Okay, even that looked fake, and the fact that it only happened to a selective walker and not all the other walkers that were without walker. It's like you said, Kyle, ridiculous. And I'll even go further. What was the point of it? Why did we have to see it in the cold open at all? It had nothing to do with the rest of the story. And if anything, it made the you know, the storm coming in later in the episode less of a thing. And okay, let's go on. How did they not know about the storm? Like, a storm doesn't miraculously just show up and oh, you know, like 2 minutes later, oh, we got a hurricane. It's like, no. It takes a lot longer to you start seeing that bad weather come and you know it's coming. It's not an instantaneous thing. So either they are absolutely clueless, or this whole thing was just not done well. And I have to put this with the deer and the, the flipping van from season 5 of The Walking Dead, you know, with Carol Daryl as a very short list of bad effects. And if Nicotero is impressed by this, I hope that there's better stuff coming in later episodes, because if this is what we've got to see for the next 7, good luck with this show.
That was my other part of my weak sauce, was just like the whole you can tell when the weather changes, you can feel it, you can smell it, you can sense it. And all the cues of like, oh, here's all these walkers being pushed down like the river. Wonder what that's caused, you know? And then like the windmill, all like winds picking up. So the windmill's all blowing, and like Alicia and Morgan are like, you know, walking off or whatever. And it's like, we as humans have senses.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not to be somebody who's going to try to be positive about this, but
not to be positive,
but just to be a little bit positive.
Okay.
You got to suspend your disbelief, I guess, because there are zombies in this world that they created. I guess in this world, they're easily moved and with less wind, you know, but you know, I I guess based upon the effects and everything else in the budget, they couldn't do that. But we have to suspend our disbelief, like another podcast company does and states.
I can give the show that to a certain degree. My question, though, is, you know, they made decisions. There's any, you know, they could have used some of that CGI budget to darken the sky in the background as they're walking by, and even them acknowledging, like, oh, sky looks a little dark, and not
make
like,
the trees, you know, look like they're blowing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or other cues to be like, oh, yeah, storm's coming. Maybe our characters would be kind of like, huh,
like,
you know?
Like, literally, I want to stress this. These damn walkers were being blown 15 feet in the air, maybe even more, and yet the trees behind them were not moving. Yes, the raindrops were moving, but the trees were not moving, and I don't care if the fact that they don't have any leaves on the trees. I'm sorry, but trees, when they are blown by the wind, and it's a high enough wind, whether they have leaves or they don't, they still move.
For the sake of
I'm getting to rant.
No, yes. I know. I'm there too. And for the sake of our listeners in the podcast, if we do want to see more new things come through, let's move on.
Yeah.
breathe.
Yeah. It's worth saying, like, I want to see what the rest of the season, you know, comes up with. You know, there's certainly some things that look like they're going to be good, and let's hope that the rest of it, the rest of the storm looks better than these scenes. But I'm just not impressed. Right. And I also have to say, and I, you know, since I didn't get to talk directly about the last two episodes there, these showrunners have put themselves in a corner where they now have to deliver. They have to justify to me and to a lot of other people that their decision to kill off Madison was justified, that the story would propel itself and that it would be a better show. And if I have to judge it based on this episode, they have failed miserably. Anyway,
yeah, I have one word: Gimplegate.
I don't even know if it's a Gimplegate, just bad decision making.
Well, it's like I said, and I was thinking about this as I'm watching the episode all the way through. And, you know, look, listeners, if you're getting turned off by this, I'm sorry. We'll move on.
We'll try not to be negative.
Well, it's not that we're being negative. We are being realistic. We are trying to look at this, and we love the show when it's good. And we're not going to completely rip. I can't be on a podcast where all we are is negative.
Yeah.
But we're being realistic here. Okay. We want this show to deliver. We already know it's being renewed, for the fifth season, and we have high hopes. We love the actors that are in the show, and you know, it's got a lot of potential. I want to see them deliver, and I can be very hard on a show and on people for that matter when they don't perform their potential. Mm-hmm. I want more than what I'm getting here. And, I just, like I said, they killed off a character that I didn't always love, but in the end I loved, and I kept looking at the season as it was going on saying they couldn't have killed her off. They wouldn't have done that. That would be dumb, especially with Nick being gone. That would be dumb for them to kill her off. And they did. And it's like, okay, well, show me that it was the right decision. Mm-hmm. No, well, they haven't done it yet.
They could always do a sleight of hand because we never actually saw her die.
Oh, don't go there, man. Don't go there. If she ends up, you know, under a dumpster or something, I am not going to be happy. Then it is Gimplegate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
I still have, I'm optimistic. So I just, you know, I want to see it, you know, where this is the first episode of the back half. So we have what, you know, seven yeah. more good to go.
And here's what I want to say. Just one final thing on this. And that is that I found the rest of the show pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I certainly like the directing. I like the story. It was something that usually is really good on this show that was really bad. And it took down the rest of the episode. And that shouldn't have happened. You know, we should be seeing it, you know, walkers in a hurricane and just saying, that's really cool. And that was the last cool was the furthest word from my mouth. So, all right.
Anyways,
let's move on to sad sauce, because if we have to keep going on, it's going to be sad.
Oh, yes.
All right. Kyle, why don't you give Cheryl's sad sauce?
All right. Cheryl Fox, she says, watching Luciana chase Charlie away without questioning her motives, leaving the book The Little Prince was very significant. It did wake Luciana up a bit.
And you've got a short one, so why don't you give your sad sauce?
Yes, and then my sad sauce is Charlie not getting eaten by the Riverwalker. That scene happened, and I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then, yeah.
That kid. Yeah, that kid. Yeah, I can't stand that kid, you know. But, all right. Mark, why don't you give the next sad sauce?
Mine was the feeling of gloom from June regarding her relationship and uncertainty with John as she talks to Althea. Because she was so many people to so many of the group already, a lady in limbo, and still a lack of trust from, you know, in some way from Althea and the rest of the group. So she doesn't know where she stands. Plus, she's still like the perfect woman in John Dory's eyes, which is great, which adds to the story. So hopefully they do come together and they make this romance work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for that matter, I will say she was really nice when I met her on Sunday. So, it is kind of sad that she has to know that her character was in there, you know, and John sees through that. So, I think she's being really hard on herself, and I like that scene with Althea.
Mm-hmm, I did, you know, too. And, and this is one of those scenes too that was the good part of the episode that I really liked.
It
was
getting
these little tidbits, and you know, it does lead a lot into her character of like what she's struggling with, because you know, she ran away from somewhere, landed on John's lap, came up with this new personality, or you know, persona. Then she took off from there, runs up into our group, comes up with a new persona. So, I mean, she's got this, she's, you know, got something she's hiding, and she found something with John, and just see, you know, hearing her talk about this to Althea is like off camera was really, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Yours.
Well, I went kind of conventional with this and kind of outside the story. I assume everyone knows this because we mentioned it on the last episode, but if Morgan did go back to Virginia, he may not find Rick alive there.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yes, I will say, yes, I know. That show will probably be ahead of this timeline when it comes back, but just saying, you know, it's still a little sad to see Rick go. He's been my favorite character on The Walking Dead, and even favorite character in TV for, you know, many, many, many years. And I'm going to be sad to see him go when he goes. I just hope that they give him a fitting farewell, you know? All right. Not last, but our next sauce, and then we have a new sauce coming. Our what sauce?
What
All right. Cheryl Fox says, I want John Dory to make me a Scrabble game. And I was startled when the walkers hit Al's truck during the storm. I didn't realize this. I guess I haven't played that much Scrabble. It's never been my favorite, but you can't make pizza with a Scrabble board. Is that true?
I don't play a whole lot of Scrabble either, but I don't think there's enough like Z's, or you have to use the empty piece, whatever. That can be anything.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. I never realized that they only have one Z in the whole game.
Yeah, I've played the worst with friends, so I don't know if they have more of the Z's or not. Yeah. That's the only Scrabble I know.
All right. Well, you have a what sauce as well.
Yeah. just my what sauce was basically like Luciana out of all people, and like how she's being so forgiving of Charlie. Like after she left the book with the little prince, you know, at the mansion, I don't get the whole situation with her character and then the rest of our characters on the show with Charlie. And I just don't care about Charlie or her safety at all. And just, I don't know, like how, I just don't understand this whole forgiveness kind of thing. And I mean, we'll see what it's played out, but I don't know. It bugs me, and it's part of my, you know, reaction and my ratings is like, I don't know how truthfully, you know, Charlie was never a part of their group per se, you know, like she was never really like a member of their group, and she killed one of their group. And how even in the zombie apocalypse, you can be all like, oh, well, I understand, whatever. She should have been kicked out, killed, or whatever. And I'm done with her. So I'm waiting for her to be dispatched, or, you know, she's going to betray somebody, or just, you know, let a walker eat her face off because she feels some guilt or something, you know, and then I'll be like, whatever, I'm glad she's gone. And then also Luciana left the door open after running after Charlie.
Very true.
I was like, close the door. Like, you're in a store.
Were you raised in the barn?
No. And you're like, this is your big like mansion with the wine cellar and blah, blah, blah. And like, come on. People do this at my work and it drives me insane. Like, I'm like, it's a door.
I forget now. Did she have the music playing too?
No. She turned it off and she went to find out what that noise was.
Well, she remembered to turn off the music at least.
yeah
just I the,
but we know that they had a gap in the fence, and you know, despite what's his face
Strand
fixing it, you know, having confidence that it's been fixed, I don't think so.
The way he fixed it was like, oh, here, click, done.
Are you gonna trust a drunk?
Anyways, Charlie, what sauce?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so here we have a new kind of sauce, and that is titled quote sauce. And what quote would I use other than this?
You know what it is.
Yes, and if you guys recall, well, I know Mark recalls, I could not stop saying
yes. And it works.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right, so the first quote is, I think I got everything I need right here, from John Dory, and that was courtesy of Steve Brown.
Our next one comes from Catcraft, and I'm not sure if I can do a good John Dory impersonation, but it's like, I should tell you I was a police officer. I should tell you I was a millionaire. Although con artist might have been a better line. And then she asked Brian, please look this up. Look up that exact quote. I'm going from memory. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing all three of you on the podcast again. Great job, guys. So her quote was basically John Dory and then Strand.
I didn't get a chance to go back and watch that again, Kat, but I think that was correct, or if it wasn't, it was pretty darn close. So,
Cheryl Rainey Fox's favorite quote is, You caught me doing a little light housekeeping. Strand drops the walker's leg. Which is pretty
okay, like Strand. I'm going to try to do one too. So yeah, well, that works out on my quote. All right. Well, that was all the listeners' quote sauce that we got. Mark, do you want to go ahead with your quote sauce with your Strand voice?
These grapes were... Got to do a good Strand one.
Yep.
These grapes weren't meant for wrath. According to Strand, you know, yeah. It's like, honestly, that's really what brought all this up. And I brought that up along the comments in Facebook. Mm-hmm. And honestly, we should thank Steve Brown because he brought that and put that into Panels the Pixels podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And we do this all the time. And it's pretty awesome. We love it. We love doing it. Keeps us on our toes. It's like, what cool thing did somebody say?
Yeah, that's all. No, thanks for inspiring or to bringing it on board, because it is a lot of fun. And Strand, seriously, that's probably the best line I've ever heard from him out of the whole entire series.
Exactly.
It was like, it was awesome. That's all there is to it.
Well, Coleman Domingo, I think, like, runs on the fly at times, and he just is able to come up with all these cool things at times. I'm wondering if that was written in or he just said.
Actually, you know, yeah. Did you watch Talking Dead? Because I think they did mention in there that the writers wrote this knowing it was Strand that was going to be saying it.
Oh, really?
I think Strand like texted him or messaged him back and was saying, Strand is back. So
which
I think,
is awesome.
Yeah, it was totally just Strand. I love his character.
Oh, I do. It's grown on me since season two.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right. Well, then my favorite quote, and it went on with some, like, I kind of put it in another. You know, earlier I had mentioned it, like the 61 liqueur, but he did say, like, at the beginning when Morgan was coming into the mansion to find him, he's like, what do you think? I've been rotating the collection. This is the first time we see him and you hear the clinking of the glasses and him drinking wine. That was awesome. Wow.
It's Strand getting back to his old Strand ways of drinking and doing what he normally does, but still being himself and himself in this world where he has to help Luciana. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, he brings up that other quote that I brought up. But
all right. Well, I don't have any quotes, so let's move on to feedback, because everybody gave quotes I would have given already. So, all right, feedback. I'll say this first.
Bullshit!
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
I think Stephen Ogg was supposed to be at Walker Stalker Con, but I didn't see him. So he may have only been there Saturday or something. I don't know. Because anyway, I don't remember seeing him.
Hmm.
All right. Cheryl Fox, her feedback. I love that Alicia and Morgan were together. Althea and June went out and John got Strand to help, even though Strand was sloshed. That he was.
You're driving.
It made for interesting stuff. Morgan was challenged by Alicia on why he was leaving when they all needed help. June and Al had girl talk. June needs to trust herself and let John get to know her now. Strand and John were just kind of funny. But my favorite part was the heartfelt thanks by Chris Hardwick on The Talking Dead. I teared up with him. It felt very sincere and humbling. I am relieved he's back.
Yeah, I was going into The Talking Dead. And I ended up watching it, like, you know, yesterday. And was on the bus or whatever, was not expecting that for some reason. I don't know why. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, I'll watch Talking Dead. And then just seeing him at the beginning, like, I mean, I kind of felt sad for him. Like, he was almost in tears. And then, like, you know, basically telling everybody, you know, thank you for the support. And then, like, like Yvette, you know, like he went to her and was like, thank you so much for being there and doing such a good work at the con. And she giving him a hug. And, you know, I don't know. I kind of now feel like, you know what, if Yvette is definitely, you know, and I would think she would know a lot more than I do, that it's like, yeah, this is all, he's, you know, he did nothing wrong, or, you know, it's, this is over, you know, he's back.
Yeah.
I'm happy he's on the show. Cause like he said, he's been doing this for what, 7 years, and it's a family. And I look at him as like my TV family.
Yeah. It was honestly tears of joy. And that's what really got me to tear up, because it showed that he had a passion for what he did and a passion for the fans that wanted him back. Now, mind you, there were a few people that he worked with that didn't want him back. What side that they were on, but honestly, a lot of the fan base was there, and it wouldn't be Talking Dead without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering about that, and I went and looked it up. I saw her listed as co-executive producer, but I believe she was an executive producer, and her name is Jen Patton. She was the executive producer that left the show, and she had been there since the beginning. And from what I'm seeing, like I don't know, I didn't do an extensive search on her, but I did look at a couple of things that I found on her from Twitter, and also, strangely enough, LinkedIn. Her LinkedIn profile came up, and sure enough, it said that she left Talking Dead in July, and now she is a freelance producer or something like that. So I would really like to get her story, and, you know where she's coming from. We covered the whole thing last episode, and, you know, tried to be fair and balanced. I don't know if we were successful. I did hear from a couple of people that thought we did a good job, but you know, we don't know what happened there, and we also don't know why AMC and NBC and even the Nerdist brought his why AMC's bringing him back, why NBC brought him back for, you know, the shows that
America's Got Talent.
Yeah. He was on America's Got Talent. He'll be back on The Wall, the game show he does. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be coming back with talking with Chris Hardwick as well. I mean, we don't know all of that. I read some article that was suggesting that they were worried about a libel suit, which, you know, it's possible. I don't know. I don't know. To me, where there's smoke, there's fire. And in the case of this, there wasn't a lot of fire on him other than from Chloe Dykstra. We don't know, you know, what Jen Patton has to say, because she hasn't said anything. And we don't know what, you know, some of these writers from Nerdist that left, who quite honestly probably didn't even know him, you know, or they didn't know him well. So, because he's not been directly a part of that company for a while now. So, so we don't know, but I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. There's more fire about him being a nice guy, you know? So in the end, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, one day if I meet him at a podcast expo or a Walker Stalker Con or Comic Con or something like that, and I meet him and he comes off a jerk, well, you know, maybe I'll think differently about the guy. But for now, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, but he is going to be under a microscope. So he'd better be a good guy, because if he screws up, he's going to get found out, you know? Anyway, okay. So let's move on to, our next bit of feedback. That's from Glynis.
All right, Glynis Goltz. Her feedback is, I wonder when will Morgan stick with the decision? Alicia made him pause and mull over her statement of why he didn't just stay with him. Would have liked Alicia and Morgan to stay together for more interaction, but it looks as if Morgan will be on his lonesome to get through the storm, and Alicia looks to be spending quality time with Charlie next episode, which will no doubt create an emotional tornado. Yeah. Well, I think that's part of something that was kind of interesting. You know, here we are. Morgan's just like, hey, I want to go back. You guys could come with me. And then knowing that, like, okay, he can't leave the show. And then sure enough, right, there's a storm coming that's going to just basically cause all the problems in the world. And then Alicia at the end goes, you know, basically it's like, you know, why, you know, you're with us. Why are you leaving us or whatever? So it's putting Morgan in a dilemma.
Yeah. All right. Next we have feedback from Kat. She says, I thought the episode was slow. I was looking for more action. I like the interaction between Al and June. Fear the Walking Dead should be well served in keeping and continuing to develop the strong female characters. Okay. It's the rest of it is there. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. The rest of it we had. So that's it. Yeah. And Kat, we kind of interspersed some of what you said that really probably wasn't a part of the other parts at the end. I'm looking at it, but we already said that stuff. So I'll move on. All right. So we've got our own feedback now. So Kyle, why don't we start with your points?
Mine kind of is, it's, I tried to put some of it in, you know, the other parts so that it would fit, because I kind of was having to do this quickly on the fly on my bus today. So it's kind of all over the place. So I'll just kind of just go through it all. One was getting to hear Al say that, like when she was talking to June about, you know, the girl talk. And, you know, she was saying something about like not giving, like she doesn't like to give advice. That's not her thing. But then after the whole thing, she's like, now I sound like my mother. And I was like, oh, yay. Like we get something about her, you know, like some little bit of insight. Obviously, we figure most everybody obviously has a mother and father, but she's, you know, has been, you know, we haven't heard anything about her background. So
that's kind of a good point. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, just a little tiny sliver of her. Other than the fact that it sounds like she was some kind of war correspondent, mm-hmm. You know. Anyway, what else do you have?
Charlie, which I can just go on and on and on about her. But just like, you know, like how she's with June and Dory. Like, you know, the group is kind of all kind of like in their little, I guess, little factions, even though they're all still together or whatever they're doing. They're resting right now. But I just like, I kind of can see where June and Dory are kind of, you know, kind of trying to help or take in Charlie. You know, they seem to be like this little family on that bus. And, you know, Dory's trying to help her. And June's also trying to, like, get her to open up. And then just like, you know, obviously there's Strand and Lucy on Alicia, which would more rather just kill her for what she did. And I find it this interesting two side of this coin that they are on. Like the way they're acting towards that little murderous girl that I hate. it's part of the show that I'm just not really sure that I'm on board with, because I just don't find it. I don't find how someone, a human in this apocalypse can have that kind of like redemption for somebody. 'Cause that to me is just like, they're your enemy, you know. Other groups are the vultures are your enemy, but you don't go make up with the vultures after they destroyed everything and be like, "Ooh, sorry." Like, I don't get it at all. Well, June and Dory, I can see because they don't have much connection to our group, so I can see them having a little bit more compassion.
I mean, it's not the first villain that we end up, you know, kind of making up with, at least partially. In the show,
I mean,
like Merle, that would be a good example.
Yeah, but Merle had Daryl.
Yeah,
there was the connection.
True.
There.
True.
Charlie doesn't have anybody. Like, Charlie, to me, is, I mean, she's like, from Terminus.
Oh my like, God.
Rick would not. Okay. Should I not say that word? why can't I really think of his name? Okay. I'll start over. But, Starbucks dude, the leader of Terminus.
Gareth.
Gareth. Okay. Okay. So Charlie is like Gareth of Terminus, and you know, everybody else is Rick. Like, there would be no way there would be any forgiveness there. Like, I don't, she has no connection. She is a nobody, and her even being around, even if she's a kid, she needs to look at the flowers.
All right. Well, hold on. I want to add a little something to this. Luciana wound up getting the Little Prince book back, meaning, and after she started running after Charlie. So I'm starting to think there's going to be a connection between Luciana and Charlie at some point.
I find that hard to believe that a book would be enough connection to have compassion for someone that killed your love.
It's funny.
Plus, she's a child, you know.
Yeah, so. But she's annoying.
She's a child in the apocalypse that hurts other people by being a spy, a backstabber, like a. She caused Nick's death. She caused the stadium to fall. She caused Madison's death. Like, there's no redemption for her.
It's funny, because we all remember, Carl, stay inside, and everybody thinking how Carl was an annoying little kid. But you take Carl and you make him a girl. And then you make the girl be really quiet and run away a lot, after she's done something or not done something. And yeah, I mean, I'm right. I might not be. Well, we'll just say this because we're going to pull it out. Kyle called her something else before he called her Gareth. So. a politically incorrect term, and anyway, let's just say that it was a non complimentary term that he used, and I'm mostly right there with you because I find her annoying, but I'm not like wanting her dead so much. I just want her to be less annoying. Like, talk, girl. Like, and he just made you a Scrabble game. Like, show a little appreciation. But no. Nope.
No. I don't. She's like, she's not talking because she feels like I feel.
I think we should move on to the fact that Kyle is really frustrated. You're getting all clipped.
Okay, enough of her now. All right. The title sequence, I'm really enjoying that part of this show. Like, it's just fun to see. It's very creative. It's very, neat little, like, oh, here's what this episode's about. Because, like, this one was all the walkers walking and then that big swirly storm. It was all nice colors and stuff like that. Like, I'm enjoying the little title sequences a lot. And I liked how Morgan was collecting stuff off the walkers in the beginning when he was killing them, like basically scavenging supplies off them for him leaving. I don't know if I've ever really seen anybody in either show that did that, or at least something that was like, where they focused on it for like, more than a split second.
Well, Rick did with that backpack from the hiker that they scattered.
I guess. That's true. Yeah. I just, this whole sequence was really like this. Morgan's going around there basically collecting everything he could off everything. Like, I never seen people be scavenging walkers for like just what they happen to hopefully be carrying, which I thought was kind of cool.
There was a few times in the Prime show that they actually did.
Yeah.
When they're desperate, they do.
It's cool to see again then. I think I already talked about Luciana listening to her music with her back towards the exit. because I was just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's, you can't do that. And then I also was thinking about like Alicia trying to save whoever with her, you know, with the notes. And, you know, she did kept after she found out that, you know, the dude was dead and, you know, ran out of time. You know, she was talking about how, you know, just talking about how she used to be with like saving people, that she was really good at that, you know, the group was really good at that. And she was, you know, kind of talking about, you know, or she was thinking about her mom. And, you know, I was kind of, it was weird because I feel like I'm like, well, and then also Nick, you know, like I feel like obviously like Nick is not on the show, that he's just not really like, I don't know. I was just surprised to not hear him being brought up when she was talking about just being good at what she used to do in the group and blah, blah. It just like my brother, Nick, you know, and I'm like, oh, it was just mom. Like
I heard on another podcast today and they brought up a good point that, and then they brought up another good point off of that point, is that these characters seem to be processing or grieving or whatever the death of Madison, even though in this timeline that happened weeks, maybe even months ago. And I have to agree with that point. And I believe that was on post show recaps. They brought that up. So I will also give credit to Jessica on post show recaps, who also said that, well, in the case of at least Alicia and Strand, and of course Luciana, they're also processing Nick's death, which I would say, yeah, that's definitely true. But it's kind of all centered around the death of Madison here, when actually the death of Nick was much closer in time frame to this. But it is worth saying that, you know, they're processing the deaths of both of them. And it's, you know, it's funny watching this. I forgot that Nick had just recently died. I guess probably because I had already processed the fact that Frank Deline was leaving the show. But still, you know, having issues over Madison's death. And I even said to Jenna Elfman when I met her on Sunday that I'm like, I kind of, you know, was kind of mad about Madison dying off. And she even said, yeah, I could totally understand why, you know, so.
Well, that was a decision that I think a lot of people were surprised by.
So. Yeah. She did say, though, that she thinks that the second half is really good. So, you know, of course they always say that, but she wasn't saying it. She wasn't saying it on camera. So I'll give her that much.
Take that as like, she wasn't being recorded.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have really high hopes with all the new characters that we're going to be seeing, that the Storm thing was just, this is just some blah, you know, they want to do something fun and crazy and kooky. Okay, whatever. Once that's, I mean, I can see how the Storm is setting up the devastation of our group not having the man, you know, the kind of nice little life that they're having right now, and just throwing it all up in the air and just like cutting off resources and making them go scavenge. So I'm kind of letting it just go. Just, you know, we'll see some maybe hopefully cooler things with the Storm. But then knowing that there's all these new characters that are going to run into, which is going to lead to some other conflict or some other survival thing, that I do feel like I want to tune in still.
Yeah, I kind of hope we see some of these other characters next episode. You know, like I said, I mean, they're all saying how cool the Storm was, and you know, I just hope that, I mean, if Nicotero, if we go through the end of this season and we see that that the Storm was really as dumb as it seemed to be this episode, we're gonna have a hard time believing Nicotero going forward. And, you know, he might need to get his head out of his, you know what?
Buttocks.
Buttocks.
Yeah. But, did you notice, though, too, that when Morgan was doing his little collection of walkers and he found the walkie-talkie and he started turning it on, that you started hearing chatter, but it wasn't from our group? And that was really cool. Yes. I mean, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I thought there was going to be more, but it was just like, it almost sounded like, I'm totally, I'd have to look at it again. But, you know, I thought it might have been those truckers because I thought maybe they said something, you know, 10-4, okay, or, you know, something like whatever.
Could be.
But same here. Yeah.
So was that a different one than how we called Althea?
No, I think he found it and they must be on some certain channel, but he started, going through it and then came across these two other voices. There was a guy and a girl's voice and you heard just very little bit of it. And then I think he turned it off, like not thinking, maybe he thought it was their group. I don't know. But then, he kept it because he was wanting to have, walkie talkie.
Is that all?
That's all that I have. Yeah.
All right. Mark, do you have anything else?
I don't have anything.
All right. I just had, I think we pretty much, covered it, but I did notice something that, I had been wondering about, and that is Lenny James is now on the top of the call sheet. So, he is the first actor listed in the credits. So like at the end, at the beginning of Act One, the first name you see is Lenny James now, where he used to be and Lenny James after the rest of the actors, came in, much like Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the and in The Walking Dead. So I thought that was interesting. And I noticed like Alicia Debnam Carey is next. Maggie Grace, I believe, is third. Coleman Domingo, fourth. And not sure the order of the rest of them, but I can't remember if it was Garrett Dillahunt, Jenna Elfman, Danae Garcia. Is that all of them? I think that's all of them, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I think Danae Garcia was last, or Danae. I'm not sure if it's Danae or Danae. I know it's a different spelling than Danae Guerrera.
Yeah. They pronounce it deny.
Okay. Well, anyway, I don't know if it was Jenna and then Garrett or Garrett then Jenna, but doesn't matter. It's just the main thing that I noticed was that Lenny James was first. Because when I originally saw it, I did not see his name. And I had to go back and confirm that. And when I did, I found that, in fact, Lenny James's name was first and Alicia was second. So, to the thing about, Charlie and Kyle, I mostly agree with you on that. The one thing that I noticed, Luciana say to her, haven't you done enough? And I don't know why did she give back the book?
I don't have any idea.
And why did she give back the book then?
Exactly. Like, that whole scene bugged me. Like, she did the total, like, scary movie ghost in the distance. Like, she comes around the corner, here's this back of this little kid, and then turns around and looks at her. And it looked so cheesy, but then, I was just like, I don't get Charlie at all. Do not understand her.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to news, ratings, and info.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Indeed. What the hell is happening to the ratings of the show? Things are not good with the results. Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 9, which is people like us, on the Sunday night, got a 0.68 in the 18 to 49 with only 1.878 million viewers. And I believe that this is a low of the series to date. So, and I'm not surprised of this in any way. But looking at the charts, you know, I haven't posted these charts yet,
on the group.
But I produced them, but I didn't actually put the links out, but I'll do that. By the time you're hearing this, listeners, you will see those charts, but you'll see that, it's close to where it was for season 3, episode 9, but it is lower, and it pretty much looks like the lowest of the series to date, which is not good. And I will also say, much like we saw a couple of dips, and then we saw a big dip when Carl died. I think it's similar with Madison. But I don't know how many, people, whether they had forgotten about the show or what. But so this compares to season 4, episode 8, the mid-season finale was a 0.73 in the 18 to 49 with 2.32 million viewers. So as you can see, that's down quite a bit. Not so much in the 18 to 49, but the viewers number is quite a bit lower. Mm-hmm. Talking Dead also did not do well, and of course it is showing at 11 o'clock. That never does well for the show. I know that Preacher's going to be in that 10 o'clock slot, which, most of the time we've been really annoyed by the show being later because of some other show that they've dropped in. Preacher has been playing at 10 o'clock on Sundays, and I really like Preacher, so I give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm a few episodes behind, though. I didn't watch this episode last Sunday night, so I got to catch up. But it got a 0.15 in the 18 to 49, which I was actually kind of surprised. I thought maybe some people would be tuning in to see Chris Hardwick return and see what he had to say, but seems that wasn't the case. It got a 0.15, 18 to 49, with only 483,000 viewers. And that compares to the mid-season finale, which people stood by probably being in shock over Madison's death. It got a 0.2 in the 18 to 49, again at, 11 o'clock hour, with 742,000 viewers. So that's quite a bit lower. We got some feedback from the viewers on the ratings. So Mark, why don't you give Laura's feedback? We didn't get other feedback from Laura this week, which I was really wanting to hear what she had to say, but at least she said something about the ratings.
Laura Willie Swink says, I feel bad for the new cast and remaining cast. I like them and would like the show to do well for them, but the producers kind of gave it a big F you to devoted existing fans. Looking at Fear of the Walking Dead social media comments, a lot more people are than yay and trying to bring in new fans, especially with the direction the original show is going, to be an uphill battle.
I cannot disagree with that, Laura. I think that, as far as I'm concerned, they have to convince me, like I said, that they did a good, that this is a good idea. Cause I don't understand it. She didn't want to leave. I didn't really see a purpose for it in the story unless they wanted to tell that, that goofy, two timeline storyline.
Yeah.
So I'm unconvinced at this point. I think while Madison was a tough character to love, I grew to love her, and I miss her not being in the show. I do. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We also got some feedback from the feedback, Glynis. So why don't you, Kyle, give that feedback?
All right. Well, Glynis Gold, she says, agree. The actors on both Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead give it their all and do the best they can with what they've been provided with, script and character development wise, which is unfortunately limited by budget constraints and all times it shows in the finished product. The new Fear the Walking Dead showrunners did such a good job with season 4, episode 1-8. So I hope the ratings bounce back in the coming episodes. No, it's already filmed and done and dusted, so any further magic to be gotten is up to the editor's room. Though they do have a free pass with Fear the Walking Dead being renewed already for season 5, so no threat hovering over them yet of a series cancellation.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, one of the questions I have, which obviously, you know, there's so much towards like what the live viewing, you know, live ratings are for when it actually airs. To like, how much do they put into like the live, you know, like the 3-day and then the week long? Because I mean, I know for me, yes, I watch the show obviously, you know, the same Sunday, if not usually like 30 minutes later. But like a lot of my shows, I record them on DVR and then I watch them throughout the week. And, you know, it's like how much, like, I wonder how people's viewing habits have changed to like, if people are still watching the show, even though they're not watching it right on Sunday, I'm like, doesn't that matter still?
I can. It's one thing that I listen to some podcasts about TV that are, you know, more like from a critic or a TV mogul or TV insider, whatever perspective. Mm-hmm. One of them is called TV Talk Machine. And that's like with one of the editors from The Hollywood Reporter. Mm-hmm. And they were mentioning, I think it was last week's episode, that the networks are now starting to look at live plus 30 day because people are like actually going even beyond 30 days to binge the episodes. So, you know, it's not even the live plus 7 anymore. And it, like some of the networks are savvy to this. Like, for example, I would say Fox, when I've looked at the Fox app, they seem to have more episodes of the show on, you know, that you can access on their apps. Whereas like sometimes AMC does it where they'll show the whole season and sometimes they'll only have like 4 or 5 episodes. Something like Sci-Fi or USA, you can't catch up. Like if you get more than 5 episodes behind, you can't catch up because
I noticed that too.
Yeah. I think that's really short-sighted. And, so I think that it has affected everything and it will continue to. So,
TV is changing.
It is changing, and you know, and you have different, even within the streaming providers, you have different ways of doing that. Like some of them, you know, will give you all the episodes at once. Sometimes they'll give them one episode at a time. Like I think Hulu does that for most of their stuff. Mm-hmm. CBS All Access does that.
Yeah.
But other ones, you know, they'll do like part of the season and then they'll release part of it later. It's all kind of, it's all changing. And, this actually segues nicely into the news segment. 'Cause one thing I wanted to bring up, AMC Premiere, that's a service that has been offered for about a year, I'd say, but only to Xfinity customers. Mm-hmm. Well, now it is available. Seems like everyone with a cable, satellite, or streaming provider, not all of them. Like I don't see Sling, which is what I've been using right now to try out. I don't see Sling on there, but like, Spectrum is there now, Fios from Verizon. Yeah, pretty much any cable company that or satellite company that you belong to now can get AMC Premiere. And the nice thing about it, what I don't have it, okay, I'll say that. I don't have it yet. But if you do have it, you can actually watch the next episode. It's available to you. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of cool.
I saw the Lenny James commercial for Maya's Xfinity. It's like speaking to your Xfinity remote and see the next episode right now. And I just, you know, I find that cool. But at the same time, like, I don't want to pay extra money. I already pay enough for cable.
Yeah. And to that end, I should mention, because I mentioned this last episode about how I needed a new TV. I got a new TV.
Hey.
How appropriate. Yeah. So I picked up a TCL. Their 5 series from Best Buy. It was on sale, and a really nice TV. Really like it. And it came with Roku, and they also had a Fire TV for half price. So I have both Fire TV and Roku. So I'm going to get to play with both of them. And so right now I'm from the first stream provider that I'm trying out right now is Sling. I got a 30-day trial with it for buying my TV. So I figured I'd give them the first tryout. And once that runs out, I'll try another one, and another one, and probably another one until I settle on one. But, or I'll just buy episodes directly. I don't know. But, so I thought that was worth saying. So it's $4.95 a month. And, if you're in the US, it might even be available elsewhere. I don't know. I think I even saw maybe in the UK, but, again, not from the UK. I haven't checked this out. I know it's in the US. Check your provider.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it'd be in the UK yet because they're behind us. And they purposely, I think, set it up that way so that we just saw the premiere, but it won't come over out on, I don't know if it's Sky or Channel 4.
It's AMC, actually.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But
I think they don't get it for another 2 more weeks or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a delay. And I remember seeing that from last season. It was just like, oh, just articles saying, oh, like, oh, yeah, but you'll get to see it here in the UK like next Sunday. And we've already seen it.
We already talked about Chris Hardwick, so I guess we can skip that story. But I did find out the rest of the episode titles and who has written and directed them, which I haven't seen this on The Walking Dead in a long time. We used to see it, I think, in season 5, but for many years, they haven't produced these ahead of time. So I was kind of surprised when I found it. So the next episode, season 4, episode 10, is called Close Your Eyes. That's written by co-executive producer Shintaro Shimosawa. And I believe he's the one that had... I think it might have been the Laura episode. I'd have to check that. But I remember that he wrote a really good episode in the... Oh, you know what it was? I think it was an episode before that. I think it was the episode that that Nick died. Let me check that before we go any further. It was Good Out Here, season 4, episode 3, the one that Nick died. Shintaro Shimosawa wrote that one. And anyway, that one's directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, the next episode. So, of course, he came over from The Walking Dead, and he's kind of like the co-executive producer slash, you know, in-house director on the show. Episode 11 is The Code. That's written by co-showrunner Andrew Chambliss and Alex Delisle. Directed by Tara Nicole Ware. Episode 12, that's the episode that is directed by Coleman Domingo. That's called Weak. And it's written by Kalinda Vasquez, which I don't recognize her name, but she's written another episode coming up as well. Episode 13 is Blackjack. Co-showrunner Ian Goldberg wrote that episode along with Richard Nang, and directed by Sharat Raju. The next episode, episode 14, is a strange title, MM54. And that is Anna Fischko, who wrote this this episode, and Shintaro Shimazawa. They combined on this one, that one. And it's directed by Lou Diamond Phillips.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the last two are fit together. I Lose People, written by Kalinda Vasquez and directed by David Barrett. And then the last one fits right into that, the season finale, I Lose Myself. So, and that's written by the co-showrunners Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg and directed by Michael E. Satrazima. So one of the things that I brought up last time, it looks like it is going 8 weeks straight. And so there will be an episode during the Labor Day weekend, which I was surprised about. So there won't be any kind of crossover or, you know, special thing going this year, because The Walking Dead comes back the following week, October 7th. So
My question is, which episode is the one that Lenny James poops in?
I have to think that one of those two episodes is the one where he's got I Lose People, I Lose Myself on his forehead.
Probably I Lose People. And I think MM54 and you're the gun enthusiast, Kyle.
not really, but
well, wouldn't that be millimeter 54? Kind of like, I mean, maybe what's on top of Althea's truck?
Maybe.
Could be, but I mean, it's either a spy reference or a gun reference.
Steve Brown, we are tasking you to get us an answer. What is this? Is this a gun related term or is this something else?
Yeah.
Steve, I know you would know. Yeah.
Some sort of gauge of bullet.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. So let's start wrapping it up. Kyle, why don't you tell the listeners how they can submit their feedback and participate in our podcast?
Will do. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio or use the speech pipe widget called 304-837-2278. Or like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which you can find at www.facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And as always, unless, you know, we say something else, a deadline for submitting feedback is the next episode is Tuesday, August 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central.
I'll just say that if you're not a member of our Facebook group, Negan would say,
are you kidding me?
It's also worth saying Walking Dead GSM is our Twitter handle, so love to hear from people. And we did get one tweet from Jenna Elfman liked my tweet, and if you go look at that, you'll see that I posted the selfie with her. And it was actually several selfies. I kept on like having this like weird, goofy looking smile on my face that I wasn't satisfied with. So we took like three or four of them. But anyway, so that was my fault.
She totally did like it.
Yeah. Jenna Elfman liked our tweet. And then I retweeted it on my own Twitter, and she liked that too. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Awesome.
And that was maybe an hour later or so. So an hour and a half after after that. So, oh yeah, I didn't really talk much about Walker Stalker Con. I guess I can say it here before we kind of wrap it up. First of all, I missed Saturday, so I only got kind of one day. I did go to a little after party or something at the hotel Saturday night, and I met up with a couple of other podcasters. I met up with Jason. I finally met Jason from Walking Dead Cast, who, you know, I've been doing editing for this past year, and of course I've been a part of his Patreon group. So it's good to finally meet Jason in the flesh. Spent a little bit of time with him. He was, of course, busy with the con, but I got to walk around with him quite a bit Sunday, and then we kind of had dinner together Saturday night. And I also met Lizzie from Brains Gone Bad. So actually spent a lot of time with her and her friend Desiree, who is a shot out of a can, and I told her just a bundle of energy. I was even surprised, like she's become friends with even some of the people who came to visit her at her booth. She sells like zombie related doggy sweaters, which are kind of cool.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, at her booth, Seth Gilliam just walked up and asked if she was around. And it was funny because I looked at him like, oh, somebody playing Father Gabriel. And then I looked at him a little closer. I'm like, wait a second, that's him. So, yeah, awesome. It was funny. But it was a small convention. You know, I don't know for sure if I'm going to go to Walker Stalker Con Atlanta. I'm going to try, but we'll see. I know I'm going to be at MegaCon Tampa Bay, which I know is quite a bit bigger than Orlando. And but I am going to try to go to Atlanta, and I'm very curious how that's going to compare, because there weren't that many guests there at Orlando. No. On Sunday, there like literally, if you wanted a selfie or an autograph, you could have, you know, got right in, walk right up. Especially like in the afternoon, there like several of the stars that were still doing them. Like you could walk right up to Christian Serratos, and she had no lineup at all. Like it was just the one person that she was talking to, and that was it. I didn't get a shout out from Kevin Zegers, but he was the other Fear cast member that was there, and I didn't see anybody at his table. Maybe one person when I was walking around. It was not much. Sorry about that. Look at me. I didn't get him either, but I did talk to one of the cast members. So besides that, and that was Joshua Michael, who of course played Jared on The Walking Dead, and you know, evil Jesus guy. I knew because I'm friends with Lizzie. He's been on their podcast, I think, three times, and they had gone to see a play that he had done. So I knew, listening to him on there, and you know, just basically things I'd heard about him, and seeing he was also on Talking Dead, that he was a nice guy. Well, he was a nice guy, and I got to talk to him directly that Saturday night, and I told him how he nailed that character, and you know, that you hated the character, but you didn't hate him because you knew, yeah. It, you know, he was just playing him so well. And I hoped that he you know, goes off to a nice long career, because I think he's really good. And I also Jason had done a panel with him Sunday afternoon, and I got to ask the first question to him at the panel. So that was kind of cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
I've been wanting to go to a con, but I just, it's hard to remember when they're coming. And then also my schedule is always kind of, like, I need to plan like way ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I bought a plan and I'll be at Atlanta and I'll be there. Wow. I'm going to be at Atlanta from like Thursday till Monday.
Yeah. Like Mark is going and I don't know how that'll work, but you know, we did apply for press. So, you know, maybe they'd refund some of it back to you. I don't know, but
yeah, if not, I don't really care about the refund. I'm just looking for the experience, the fun times with great friends watching Jason do his panels. And, hopefully if, if I could actually get on a podcaster's panel, that would be great. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Cool. I am going to try. I don't know if I'll be able to go for the whole thing, but, maybe I might be able to go for Saturday, Sunday or something. We'll see. I don't have high expectations to go, but I am going to try because I do have a lot of friends that are going, as Mark knows. And,
we want you there. Come on, man. Yeah,
I know.
We're all going to stick like glue. We're all going to go around and text one another where we're at. And do
that was the one thing that I wanted to mention too, is that, because Lizzie was there and Jason was there, but they were both, Lizzie was working a booth with her friend and Jason was working the panels and stuff like that. So a lot of it was spent just me
walking around. Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't terribly cool. I mean, I think I would have enjoyed the experience a lot more if I had had other people to share it with.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, especially Saturday night, like I was out with Lizzie and her friend. And then Jason, Jason left but I kept going out with Lizzie and Desiree. But so Saturday night was good for that. But Sunday, I spent a lot of time just me. And, I would much rather have done it with other friends. So if I do go to Atlanta, I'm going to stick to you and my other friends. And I'll mention Allison because I told her the same thing. Like glue.
Come on. It's what I did in Philly, and I kind of gathered the troops when we were there with Justin, Christina, Jamie, met up with Kirk Manley, and then I went up hanging out with Jason a few times.
Yeah, he was there, Kirk Manley, but I've never really met the guy, so I didn't say hello to him.
Kirk's always great to talk to. He and I will see each other at every con. Every once in a while, I'll message him online. And anybody out there who is a Walker Stalker fan, he does the posters for the cons itself, and he does them himself, and he sells them on site. He does his own work as well, other than Walker Stalker. So go to Kirk Manley. Go to his website and look at that. He is a great artist and he's a good friend and he's very open and he loves to talk. He's a great guy.
Yeah. It's worth saying too, Garrett Dillahunt was supposed to be at the con, but he had to cancel fairly last minute, like within the last 2-3 weeks of the con. I think he's doing a movie or something because they're wrapped up right now. So I think he's doing some movie he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Yeun was also supposed to be there. He canceled like shortly before the con. I think the biggest cast member that was there, was probably Chandler Riggs. I mean, there were some current ones, Cooper Andrews, his autograph line was long, as well as Kari Payton. Austin Emilio was there. Xander Berkeley was there. Alana Masterson, Kristen Stratos. You know, some of the other minor characters like Reg, you know, with Deanna's husband, he was there. Josh Michael was there. I mentioned that already. So, you know, there were some of the main, Seth Gilliam, I said that already. So, some of the main cast members, but, you know, some of the minor major cast members were there. No Josh McDermott, no Jeffrey Dean Morgan, no Reedus or Lincoln, and nobody else from Fear other than Kevin Zegers and Jen Elfman. So, but anyway, moving on. So sorry about that. Should have put that earlier, but. But we'll finish it off to just to say that the best way to support us is to subscribe to us in whatever podcast client that you use, especially of course if you use Apple Podcasts, because they have a rating system and review system. You can help us out by giving us a 5-star review. If you don't have time for that, just give us a rating. Anything will help. It's been a while though since we've gotten anything, so you can help us out by doing that. So, as far as what's coming up, well, we're gonna be looks like we're gonna be full on every week until December with this. So, Mark and I for Walking Dead, obviously, Kyle, any of those episodes you want to join in on, you can. Yeah,
definitely.
Cause I like the trio. So makes it like, you know, when I was missing there, the last two episodes of the half season, that was a nice part, is that the two of you could have gone on without me. And tonight, same thing, Mark, you weren't too sure you're going to be able to come, so Kyle and I would have just done it. So
yeah.
It's nice, but oh well. Anyway, I should mention, of course, I do Star Trek Discovery podcast. There has been a lot of huge news, even since the last episode. Of course, Star Trek Las Vegas came out, and if you've been under a rock, you may not know, but Jean-Luc Picard is back, and he's not going to be in Discovery.
No.
He's going to be in a brand new series. So,
yay!
Yeah. So I can say, nothing official yet, but I can say that Ruthie and I are most likely going to do a podcast on that. And I say most likely as far as Ruthie. I'm pretty sure, 99.99999% sure that she'll be doing it with me, but I can guarantee you I will be doing a podcast on that show. I was, when I heard that news, I was crying, and I was like, I kept watching the announcement over and over again. I probably watched 20 times at this point. Jean-Luc Picard is probably my favorite captain and my favorite character on television, period. And to have Patrick Stewart coming back to that role, I don't care what they do. I am going to love it. I just hope they don't screw it up, but I don't think they will.
Think so. No.
I don't think he would have joined up if what they had in mind was cheesy in any way. I think it's going to be good. So
yeah, the Mark has to be there. So honestly, I would love to be on that.
Well, I've already gotten a lot of people that that they want to be on that, and quite honestly, I could see being on multiple podcasts to talk about that show.
Well, make it so.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say if anyone wants to do a podcast on that show, give me a call. I'll do 13 of them. Yeah, I'm sure my wife wouldn't like that too much, but but within reason, yeah, I would love to come on any podcast, whether I'm just a co-host or a guest or, you know, host. I will definitely do it, because I cannot wait. And we got to wait like 2 years.
I know.
But it'll be worth it.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Mark, Panels to Pixels, what do you got going on for that?
You could hear me and Steve Brown on Panels to Pixels at the Next Level Podcast Network. Right now, we're in the middle of doing Luke Cage season one. So that's about it right now.
Kyle, do you have a tea and whatever it was podcast yet?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I've been a little too busy to try to get that off the ground.
It's a running joke. We'll just keep going with it. And of course, Kyle, if you want a podcast about the Star Trek thing, that's also a possibility.
No, definitely. I mean, join here and there.
Yeah.
Even for a short bit, schedule permitting.
Yeah. I should mention, I didn't really say it, but since there's been a huge news, we were going to try to do an episode Friday night, but I kind of got busy with some furniture stuff we got going on here, had going on. So I had to postpone, but we're planning to record an episode just covering all the news. Like, there's tons of news for Star Trek later this week or maybe the weekend. So we should have an episode coming out for either on the weekend or next week sometime. So look for that. All right. Well, as far as this podcast, we will be out next week again for season 4, episode 10. I already said is called Close Your Eyes, and I already said written by Shintaro Shimozawa, directed by Michael E. Satrazimus, and the description is Alicia's forced to reckon with an agonizing past while seeking refuge from a storm. Of course. So that's it for now. Until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.